Well, this evening I direct your attention to Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter number 12, and our attention will be on verses 1 through 2, the first two verses of this 12th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." My topic this evening is maintaining 2020 vision in 2020. Maintaining 2020 vision in 2020. When it comes to our physical eyesight, the term 2020 vision is a term used to expose normal visual perception measured at a distance of 20 feet. Having 20/20 vision does not necessarily mean that you have perfect vision. Rather, it indicates that your vision is sharp and clear and does not require the assistance of glasses or contacts. 20/20 vision is the indicating mark that you have, quote, normal vision and healthy eyesight. With this day being the first day of the year 2020, my goal this evening is to function as a spiritual eye doctor, a spiritual optometrist, and give you six helpful appeals to ensure that you maintain 20/20 vision with your spiritual eyes. The author of Hebrews, using the analogy of a runner running a race, exhorts believers to keep their eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ as they live life. The author, using the analogy of running, knows that looking forward to the goal is the only way the runner can be successful. And when this analogy is used, we must understand that he is not referring to the physical eye, but with the spiritual eye. The Christian looks to the Lord Jesus Christ from his heart with the eye of faith. To look to the Lord Jesus Christ is to rest firmly upon his promises. To look to the Lord Jesus Christ is to look to his person, to remember his unfailing love, to remember his infinite power and his gracious willingness to help us. This is what it means to look to Jesus. We do not look and see him physically, but we see him by faith from our heart through the pages of his word. To look to Jesus is to dwell upon him with the mind constantly. To look to Jesus means that we are constantly asking ourselves, what would Jesus have me to do? Looking to Jesus means making decisions through an eternal perspective. And Paul identifies it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. He says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." To sum it up in one simplistic biblical definition, looking to Jesus is living by faith and not by sight. Living by what God has declared in his word, not what we see with our physical eye. So knowing that God wants us to live in this way, God wants us to live in faith, God wants us to run the race of life looking to him, our question should be, how do we do it? How can we maintain 20/20 vision in the year 2020? How can we run this race called life with spiritually healthy eyes? First, to maintain normal, healthy, spiritual vision, you must continually look to Jesus, not your circumstances. That's our first point. If you want clear vision for the new year, you must look to the Lord Jesus Christ, not your circumstances. The truth is, circumstances change, but Jesus does not. The Bible says very clearly that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the only constant in this life. Our health changes. Our financial status changes. Family dynamic changes. Status with friends and co-workers change. Leaders come and go. Policies and laws are introduced and discarded. Circumstances change, but Jesus does not. So I implore you this evening, as you journey through this new year, do not let your circumstances regulate your faith. Let Christ and His Word regulate your faith. Forgive me for constantly referring to Job, but I can think of no better example given to us by God to illustrate this all-important truth. Here is Job living a joyful, undisturbed life in Job chapter 1. And he's living this undisturbed life, so it seems, with his family and with his God. Job is a rich man. He has been blessed with several children. He is honored among the community. He is sailing on the waters of life with no apparent troubles. And in a moment, between one verse and the next in our Bibles, Job is crushed by devastating circumstances. And I emphasize the plurality of circumstances because it was not one. There were many. All of the sudden, all that Job had was taken from him. His oxen, his donkeys, and his camels were stolen. His servants were killed. Fire from heaven destroyed his sheep. And a great wind caused the home of his eldest son, with his 7 sons and 3 daughters inside, to collapse upon them and kill them instantly. If that were not enough, Job was struck with a great health crisis. He began developing sore boils all over his body that caused him pain beyond measure. And if that were not enough, his 3 friends come and charge him with living a life of hypocrisy. If anyone knew the change of circumstances and the change of life in a short amount of times, surely it was Job. But listen to Job's words in Job 19, 25 through 26. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." That's the eye of faith. Job. Old Testament Job was looking years down history, and he looked to his Savior, and he persevered through his circumstances. And we must recall, Job was a human. We do find Job questioning the purposes of God at all sometimes in his life. We do read of Job having some days that were filled with greater anxiety than others. But overall, Job looked ahead. He looked to Christ, believing that God was good and that God had a purpose for his life. And it was his vision that caused him to run the race that God intended for him. I suppose I could also point out the example of the Apostle Peter when he and the disciples were sailing across the Sea of Galilee. And the winds and the waves were boisterous. And Peter stepped out of the boat. Peter started walking on the water, though they were troubled, to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter was successful in walking unto Christ until he took his eyes off of the Lord. And he began to look at the troubling waters that were produced by the mighty winds. and he began to sink. You need to understand that these examples are given for us. These are truths meant to help us. They are truths that you already know deep down in your heart, but they are truths that we need to be reminded of. In the new year, circumstances are going to change. Look at the circumstances of your life through 2019. And you did not expect them. And there will be some circumstances that will change. The rug of life will be pulled out from underneath your feet. There will be dark days. There will be frustrations. There will be heartaches. There will be circumstances that are more favorable to us that causes us great joy. But there will inevitably be circumstances that are more disapproving to us. Circumstances that cause us to give way to sorrow. But to maintain healthy eyesight, you must look to Jesus, not your circumstances. Number two, if you want to have healthy spiritual eyesight in 2020, you must look to Jesus, not your past. You must look to Jesus, not your past. And I bring up this second point not only because it is a truth that we find written in our Bibles, but it is a truth that many Christians struggle with. Many Christians are not running with all their might as God wants them to run because they have their head turned backwards. They're looking back. And what are they looking back at? Well, it depends upon the person. Some look back at a tragic loss that was in their life, and that tragic loss keeps them from running forward. It keeps them depressed and gloomy without knowing the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Others look back at how things used to be when they had good health, when they had a high-paying job, when they had more material possessions, and it's causing current discontentment. It's causing them to crawl on the racetrack. Some look back at sins of the past and wonder if they have been truly forgiven. And it causes a present lack of hope and joy in the Lord. And torture of all torture still, there are true born-again believers who are tempted to constantly look back at their pre-converted life and are fooled into thinking that things were better then than they are now. This will prevent us from running the race with perseverance. And we find an illustration of this in Israel leaving Egypt. Israel leaving Egypt, which is a picture of salvation. And when Israel was in the wilderness and God was providing the manna for his people, Egypt wasn't out of the hearts of Israel. Israel kept lusting after what they had back under their dictator Pharaoh. They wished they were back under bondage, enjoying the fruits that they had before. And I'm confident that I'm speaking to someone here tonight who may be in that miserable condition. And the thoughts of their pre-converted life haunt them, and it causes you to backslide, and it keeps you from progressing in your Christian life because you are occupied with things that happened years ago. And I tell you by the authority of God's word that you must stop doing that. Don't look back. Look forward and look to Christ. Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." What farmer is going to be successful if he takes the plow and continually looks back? His line is going to be wavy. He's going to be all over the place, and he's not going to be successful in farming. And so it is with the Christian life. We keep our eyes centered and centered on a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, Philippians chapter 3, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." And what's before him? He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you want 2020 vision for the coming year, you must look to Jesus, not your circumstances. And you must look to Jesus, not your past. Point number three, you must look to Jesus, not to the future. Don't you see how tempted we are to look in every direction except the right direction? Not only do we often find ourselves looking back, sometimes we find ourselves looking forward and looking forward at things that are unknown. Sometimes we work ourselves into a frenzy and the questions are many about the future. Sometimes we ask ourselves, Christians say in their hearts, I'm getting old. Is the nursing home on the agenda for this year? My parents are getting older. Will I have to take care of them full time? My job is not steady. Will I need to find another one? How will life be like being married? My marriage relationship isn't very strong now. What will life be like if my spouse leaves me? My child or grandchild is strongly influenced by the sinful pleasures of this life. Will they survive this year? Or will they end up in jail? I haven't received the test results back from my doctor. Will they be good or will they be bad? Our country is taking a nosedive spiritually. What will things be like in the coming day? Who will be our president? What will the status of our church be like? Who will teach Sunday school? Who will replace those ready to pass the baton? What if? What if? What if? The Bible does not say, look to the future. It says, look unto Jesus, the one who holds the future. My friends, I say it many times, and it's almost cliche because of how many times I repeat it, but I must say it again because it's a theological truth that is meant to be an anchor for our soul. We don't need to worry about tomorrow because God is already there. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And Jesus says, Matthew chapter 6, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep when? Now. And tomorrow. And next week. And next month. And next year. And the peace of God shall keep our hearts and minds through. Don't lose it. Jesus Christ. As we look to Christ, Christ will keep our hearts. Don't look to the future. Number four, if you want 2020 vision for the year 2020, you must look to Jesus, not others. Don't lose me on this point because it is possible to become injured on the racetrack of faith when we focus our attention on others rather than the Lord. Do you remember when Jesus was at the home of Martha and her sister Mary was present there? And the Bible says that Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Martha was so happy to have the Lord in her home. And Martha was so anxious to make everything proper and delightful for such an honorable guest like the Lord that she became distracted with concern. And that's what the word cumbered means, to be distracted with concern. She was troubled in her mind that she was doing everything to make things nice and Mary was doing nothing. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing His Word. And Martha, cumbered about with much serving, came in and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What was Martha's main problem in that scenario? Martha's main problem was she was looking to Mary, not to the Lord. And what is Mary doing? That was Martha's question. What is she doing sitting around? Why is she doing that? Why isn't she helping me in the kitchen? Doesn't she know that we have to make things nice for the Lord? And we must not throw Martha under the bus, because often we are guilty of this same sin. And yes, it's a sin, because sin is taking our eyes off of Christ. And sometimes we look around at the congregation, at those who used to be here. We look at the empty pews and we can call names to their assigned seatings and they're not here. We think of people who used to serve, people who are coming but are complacent and set in their ways, and we ask, why is it that I'm bearing the load? Why are they unwilling to offer their time to the Lord? Why are they living a hypocritical life? When will they get their heart right? We could be doing so much more for the Lord. We could start a bus ministry. We could start a nursing home ministry. We could have more here on Wednesday night. But so-and-so, we begin to look at others rather than looking at the Lord. And sometimes looking to others, listen, causes us to slow down or quit. And we must never make man the authority for what we do in our Christian life. Man is not our final authority. Jesus is our final authority. We do not serve God because other people are serving God. We serve God because God is worthy. God does not want our attention to be on others. He wants our attention to be on Him alone. And we must realize that we are going to stand before the Lord and give an account of our lives without anyone else around. We must understand that our spouse will not be next to us when we stand before the Lord. Our child will not be next to us when we stand before the Lord. Our fellow church members will not be standing next to us, and our pastor will not be standing next to us. We will stand before the Lord, and the Lord will give an account of our lives. We will give an account of our lives to the Lord. So with that truth echoing in our ears, let me press you to be faithful and to serve the Lord despite what others do or do not do. Under this point, let me also remind you that while it is possible to become distracted by looking to others who are not serving the Lord, it is also possible to become distracted by looking to others whom God is using. You say, what do you mean? Well, sometimes we look to someone who's talented. We look to someone who is being blessed by God. We look to someone who's seeing much fruit in their life. We look to someone who seems to have everything going for them, and we are tempted to covet their life. We are tempted to question, why do they have it so easy? Why don't they have problems like I have? Why do they have that particular position when I don't have a position? And when we begin to compare ourselves among ourselves, we are acting foolishly. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So we don't look to other men and even their successes. And we don't do as the church in Corinth did. I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and my Christian life is viewed through the ministry of a man. And some Christians do that. I'm of John MacArthur, and I'm of John Piper, and I'm of Paul Washer, and I'm of Paul Chapel, and I'm of Charles Stanley. And did you hear what these preachers think? And did you hear what they say? Have you read his latest book? And every time you meet with certain Christians, it's their favorite preacher coming out of their mouths. And we thank God for good preachers. They are a help to us. They are a gift through the church. But you see, our ultimate direction in life to look is not a man, it's the Lord. Remember, Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. He didn't say, just follow me. He said, do as I do, so long as it imitates the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be careful, church, on a collective sense, that we as the body do not look at any other bodies. We do not look at any other churches and look to them saying, why do they have an abundance of ministries? Why do they have hundreds gathering on Sunday? Why do they have beautiful buildings? Why do they have a pastor who is cool, who keeps his sermons under 20 minutes? We look to Jesus, not others. I have two more suggestions for you so that you maintain 2020 vision in 2020. As you run the race of patience that is set before you, make sure that you look to Jesus, not yourself. Under this main heading, I would like to encourage you with three subheadings. The first one being, you must look to Jesus, not your good works. And if we are honest, we must confess that there are very real temptations to boast in ourselves. We begin to think ourselves more highly than we ought to think, and we pamper ourselves with the thoughts like the Pharisee. Look at how much I pray. Look at how much I give. Look at how faithful I am. Look at how wise and discerning I am. No one compares to my standard of living. I do not smoke, I do not chew, and I don't hang out with those who do. Look, I don't watch rated R movies. I don't go to the bar. I am holy and more holy than most people around me. And we must understand that God despises the spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, a proud look is abomination to the Lord. And it is a very real hindrance to our walk with the Lord. We do not look to ourselves. We do not look at our, quote, righteous works. We do not look to our sufficiency. We look to Jesus Christ. The second thing we must avoid looking at in ourselves is our imperfections. We look to Jesus. We do not look at our imperfections and weaknesses. As we worship and serve the Lord, we must not focus our attention on things that we are not. We must prevent the depressing Eeyore attitude, the Eeyore outlook that says, poor me. I can do nothing. I am not gifted enough. I am not educated enough. I am not musical. I am not strong enough. I am too shy. I have this disability. I have this health issue. And we do not say, I can't do. We must say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We say with Paul, when we are weak, then we are strong. We look to Jesus, not our imperfections and weaknesses. And we look to Jesus, not at our failures. And the devil is an expert of taking others out of the race by having them focus on their failures. And I can tell you story after story of a husband failing, of a wife failing, a church member backsliding, a Christian losing his focus, a deacon losing his patience, a pastor who has lost his faith, and rather than confessing their sin and moving onward for the Lord, claiming the power of Jesus' blood to forgive, and this blood that cleanses us from all sin, these individuals look to themselves and they look to their sins and they begin to sink lower and lower and lower. And as they sink lower and lower, they fade away more. They miss a Sunday here and they miss a Sunday there. They distanced themselves from the body of Christ who wants to help, all because they're looking at their failures rather than the Lord. We have 1 John 1:9 given to us so that we might not be overwhelmed by our guilt, but be overwhelmed with God's grace. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins? He, who is He? Jesus, the one we're looking to. He is able. His blood is sufficient. He's merciful, tenderhearted. We look to Him. God wants us to look at who we are in Christ. He wants us to continually see that we are saved from the penalty of sin. If we are Christian, we are saved from the power of sin. And one day we will be saved from the very presence of sin. We are not only saved, but we are justified. And we are not only justified, but we are redeemed. And we are not only redeemed, but we are adopted. And we are joint heirs with Christ. And we are Christ's chosen generation who have been accepted in Him. So we look to Jesus. We do not look at ourselves. We look to Jesus. We don't look to our good works. We look to Jesus. We don't look at our imperfections and weaknesses. We look to Jesus. We do not look at our failures. And finally, we must look to Jesus, not to the world. Looking to the world will deflect our focus from Christ. Remember Demas, Paul's companion in ministry? Paul said of him, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Paul bluntly tells us in his word that Demas, who was on the racetrack fighting the good fight, Demas, who was doing a good work for the Lord, became distracted by looking to Vanity Fair, by looking to the world. And if this can happen to Demas, it can happen to any of us. As you run the race of faith, do not look to the sins of the world. Prevent yourself from gazing upon sensual and sexual entertainments. Prevent yourself from viewing celebrity gossip and the sinful lifestyles of the rich and famous. Prevent yourself from looking at movies and television shows that show ungodly material. Do not look at the, quote, sinful fun of those who post pictures on Facebook or Instagram. Do not look at those who frequent the casinos and the bars and the nightclubs. These are all distractions from the devil. And these things cause no lasting pleasure for the child of God. Do not look to the sins of the world. Look to Christ. And do not look to the scenarios of the world. What do I mean by this? What I mean by this is, do not become overwhelmingly fixated with the news. Now, this is a point that I'm preaching to myself. Wanting to stay upon, personally, the news that is happening in our country and around the world. Wanting to preach truth in the context of this life where we live. And sometimes I browse the online articles. The articles that tell me about the threats of North Korea. The tensions in Baghdad. The attacks on Israel. And the attacks of ISIS. And I turn on the talk radio. And I hear the desires to impeach the president. I hear of the hypocrisy that exists among top officials in our nations. I hear about sad shootings that take place in school and in churches. I hear the back and the forth of Republicans and Democrats. I hear the growing rate of atheism. And the pushing of the LGBT mindset. And the compromises of Christian organizations. And sometimes this causes trouble in my heart. And if I'm not careful, I can develop a pessimistic doom and gloom attitude where I say to myself, the world is only getting worse. Our country is a mess. Our churches are getting smaller and Christians are phony and fickle. Maybe you can relate to what I'm saying. Maybe I'm not the only one here. And though we do not say it out loud, sometimes when we look to the world and the scenarios of the world, sometimes we think in our heart, maybe we should just put our face between our legs and hold on tight for the crash landing. And if we look to the scenarios of the world, more than the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, our faith is going to be stolen from us. We will not grow spiritually in our faith. So we don't look to the world. Listen, the world has always been full of evil. The world has always been full of compromise. Just look at the Old Testament. Old Testament times, including individuals sacrificing their children to pagan gods. Are we there yet? During New Testament times, Christians were martyred by crucifixion. When was the last time you saw a Christian hung upside down on a cross? Policies will change. Presidents will change. Politicians will change. But listen, Jesus Christ will remain the same. And Jesus Christ has promised to build His church. He's promised to seek and to save that which was lost, that which is lost. He has promised to be with us always, even unto the end of the age. And Jesus has promised to strengthen us in the inward man as we run this race. So we look to Him, not the world. We look to Him, not ourselves. We look to Him, not others. We look to Him, not the future. We look to Him, not the past. And we look to Him, not our circumstances. So my concluding two questions are, how is your vision now? At this moment, 7:51, January 1st, 2020. How is your spiritual vision? How is your faith? How is your relationship with Christ? And number two, what will you do with what I have just said? The truth is, how you adjust your focus at this moment will determine how your year will be. What kind of year do you want? Who do you want to please? Who do you want to know? Adjust your focus by the Word of God. Throw yourself on the operating table of the great physician, Jesus Christ. And if your eyes are focused on anything else but Him, you're not going to run as God wants you to run. But you can, in your heart now, go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Lord, help me to put my hands to the plow. Lord, I'm tempted to look at all these directions, but by your grace, Lord, I want to look to you, and I want to worship you and serve you and praise you as your word declares. So we look to Him. And if you're here tonight still without Christ, if you're journeying through this new year still lost and dead in trespasses and sins, you're holding on to a false hope. You're looking to the sincerity of your heart back when you were a child and you say, well, I think I was saved. I hope that it was genuine. Or maybe you're looking to a pastor and a pastor prayed for you and you're looking to the pastor's prayer rather than Christ to save you. And there are many people like this. Regarding their salvation, they say, well, some pastor prayed for me. Some chaplain prayed for me and therefore I became a Christian. No. If you didn't look to Christ for salvation, you don't know salvation at all. And some people look to their good works for salvation. Well, I always grew up in church. I went to the Christian school. I've kept my mouth clean. I haven't used dirty words. I've done all these religious things, and they're looking to themselves. But God's word says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Do you see? The looking to Christ after salvation begins at salvation. So it doesn't end. We first look to Christ when we repent of sins and believe on Him. The Old Testament illustration of Moses with Israel and the brazen serpent. All those who looked to the serpent were healed and they lived when they were bitten by those poisonous snakes when they sinned against God. And so all those who looked to the crucified Christ, All those who look to his death, burial, and resurrection shall be eternally saved. And Christian, once we become a Christian, we don't stop looking. We keep looking. We can keep looking. And we keep looking until when? Until our faith becomes sight. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When we look upon his face, the one who saves us by his grace. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. And won't it be worth it all when we see Jesus? And when we gaze upon him in all of his splendor, and we gaze upon him in all of his awe and all of his glory, and he says to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I know the race has been weary. I know you've been forsaken. I know you've had pain. But welcome to paradise, where there's no sorrow, no pain, and the Lamb of God is our light for eternity." Christian, keep looking to Jesus. Let's pray.